It's a very interesting day today. Just a very interesting day. That's all right. Well, I appreciate my son going downstairs and doing that. That's awesome. Give Linda, because Linda's been wanting to hear Mr. Good Marvin speak for quite a while. So we are really honored and privileged today. One of our own deacons, Marvin Good, is going to be sharing today. This is our celebration of Veterans Day, and I turn it over to Mr. Good. God bless you, brother. Come on up. The long walk. Thank you so much.
Thank you. First, I would like to see all the veterans stand so we can honor you. All the veterans are here today. Thank you. Can you hear me okay? You know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. Because that gives you that gives you God to talk to, the Holy Ghost. He's with you all the time, 24/7. I sometimes have problems discerning what I'm supposed to do. Because he doesn't talk back in words. But yet some mornings when I wake up, I know things that I've been wondering about and asking about and talking to him about. I know him absolutely, as an absolute. So I know he's talked to me in my sleep, in my subconscious. So with that being said, I direct you to John chapter 15, verse 13. You can look it up if you want. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Everyone that stood up here today did that knowingly or unknowingly when they served in the service. Everyone who has ever served in the service has laid down their life. Whether or not they had to give it up was up to God. I think God uses heroes, sometimes war veterans, sometimes just civilians, to point or redirect our life down different paths. And there's one man that I met when I was 10, 12 years old who survived the Bataan Death March. And I've carried that with me my whole life. In April of 1942 is when it started. It involved 76,000 prisoners. 12,000 of them were Americans. It lasted 5 days, 60 miles distance in 5 days. By April, our army in the Philippines had run out of ammunition. It had run out of food. They'd ate their mules. They'd ate their horses. So they surrendered to the Japanese. And the Japanese marched these people 5 days without food, very little water. Oftentimes, if they had a canteen, it was taken away from them. And remember, this is tropical. It is hot. You sweat all the time, except when you go on the higher elevations. During that 5 days, 5,200 Americans died. It's unbelievable. The man I met made it through the death march, of course, made it through the whole war. Remember, these people were prisoners for over 3 years till the war was nearly over. He talked a little bit about it, a little bit about what transpired. He talked about a soldier who stole a Japanese soldier's jacket. He couldn't wear it. He had to hide it. He sold it, stole it, and hid it. And of course, the Japanese wanted to know who it was, and they were going to kill prisoners until somebody talked. And he told of another American soldier who admitted to stealing the jacket, but actually had nothing to do with it. Took the blame, took the beating. I don't remember if he said whether he died or not, but they took his shirt off in the hot sun and whipped him till he looked like hamburger on his back. That's bravery. That's laying your life down for your fellow man. This, during the death march, anybody who fell down, couldn't keep up, was killed. That was just the way it was. And even in the prisoner camp, the same thing. If you were sick, they either killed you or you laid by your grave till you died, till you expired. This man, his testimony was that he laid 2 days by his grave praying to God. For deliverance. Promising God in his moments of consciousness to serve him. He had dysentery, from the mosquitoes, malaria, in and out of his mind. And you know what happened? The commandant of that camp put him in the Japanese first aid area. That's how he survived. And you know it's the hand of God, because they didn't do that for any other prisoner. And when that guy, when his last name was Bauer, he came back, he went to seminary, he became a Presbyterian minister. And that's how I met him. And it's impressed me so throughout my life. It's affected my life and what I've done in my life and how I feel about things and how I look at things. And there's other individuals in my life that I've seen, met, heard about firsthand that have also done that. And I keep thinking, why is God showing me all these things? And I know he does it to help direct my life, but I gotta believe that it's more than that, that it's for people like you that hear it. It may give you a little more hope, a little more perseverance when times are bad, you're feeling bad, down on your luck, sick, lose a loved one. It just, if other people can do it, so can we with the help of God, no matter what that challenge is. At least that's my belief, that why God wants me to speak this morning. I met a guy, I didn't talk to him. I seen a guy in Germany. He was working in a bakery shop. rolling dough. On his arm, I think it was his left arm, was this huge tattoo from a concentration camp. And I think of him and how, surviving the concentration camp, how he pulled himself up by the bootstraps and made a life for himself. He didn't give up. He didn't lay down and die. He survived. Maybe he's not a hero, I don't know, but he was a survivor. I'd heard about an American military cemetery when I was in the Netherlands. And I went to look for it. Three or four of us guys got together and bought an old jalopy. We weren't supposed to have it. If they'd have found out, we'd have been court-martialed, but we did it anyway. And I was on leave by myself. I often traveled in Europe by myself. And I couldn't find this cemetery. And I knew it was big. It's 65 acres. So I stopped by a big 2.5-story house. There was an elderly lady along the street there pruning her rose bushes. And by then I could speak some Dutch. So in broken Dutch, I asked her if she knew where this cemetery was, the American cemetery was. And she came back in fluent English, which really surprised me. She was probably, I would guess, probably 55 or so. No, excuse me, 75. She was probably 55 when this incident happened that I'm going to tell you about. Not all veterans. I know in this country we talk about veterans as American military. But to me, it goes beyond. If you go to countries where there were wars, those civilians, in a lot of cases, are actual veterans of the war. They lost loved ones. I knew a family in the Netherlands that lost a son. He had nothing more than appendicitis. It was at night. They wouldn't let the doctor operate because they wouldn't let him have lights. And the son died. Those things happened every day. And it went on for years for those people. But anyway, I was talking to this lady, and she invited me in for a cup of tea and commenced to tell me how she hid American and Canadian soldiers out during the war. If you remember the movie that came out a few years ago, A Bridge Too Far, that's where these soldiers were from. They did I think 35,000 man airdrop, General Montgomery plan that failed. The Americans had 12,000 soldiers involved, airborne, either parachute or glider. Of that, only 4,000 returned. This lady actually hid those people out, some of those people out. And talk about courage. She laid her life down too, because under German occupation, if you were caught helping a Jew, helping an Allied prisoner, you would be tortured, executed along with your family. It was such a horrific war, World War II was, that they believe somewhere in the neighborhood of 85 million people died as a direct result of the war. It's, our history books don't really tell us how bad it was. Anyway, getting back to the cemetery. It doesn't get much credit. There's only been one president there. In 2005, George Bush was there. It's almost as big as Normandy. Normandy gets the credit. Most of the time, if you hear anything about American war cemeteries, there's some others in France, too, that don't get much credit. But this one has 8,301 graves. A lot of them from Operation Market Garden, which was the same as the movie A Bridge Too Far. It has a pool, a reflection pool in a tower, something like you would see in D.C. And it has a huge wall on both sides, and on part of the wall it has what the Third Army was doing, you know, and so on and so forth. But on one of the walls it listed 1,722 names of missing in action. People who they never found were killed, buried, probably by the population. And in that cemetery, there are no less than 7 Medal of Honor winners and 1 general. It's a little place called Margraten in the Netherlands. It's actually right near the old Roman highway that Julius Caesar used when he exploited the area in his time, and later was used by Charlemagne, Charles V, Napoleon, Kaiser Wilhelm, and then Hitler's Legion in World War II, both coming and going. So it has a lot of history. I think it's important that we stop and give our service people, our heroes, not to idolize them, but to utilize them to help us through life. If you talk to a survivor of World War II, he'll tell you he was no hero. He'll say the people in the cemetery aren't. I don't really know. But I know this: God makes heroes. People don't make heroes. I think of Peter in the garden, how he was quick to defend Christ and perhaps risk his life when he drew his sword. And that same night, didn't know Christ 3 times before the cock crowed. So a hero can be a coward can be a hero. It's just not cut and dried. You're not born a hero. You don't study to be a hero. It just happens through God's will, I believe. Our world is fast turning upside down. Our values are not what our forefathers' values are anymore, or at least for the majority of the people in this world, in this country. I think it was in Texas they were talking about they wasn't going to allow people, some church was going to give a school presents, Christmas presents, for little kids. And they weren't going to allow it because it was a church. Christianity is becoming more and more under attack. some of us may live long enough to see it actually be attacked. And within this country, it is all throughout the world. But so this, I think, is a perhaps a wake-up call. I know. It's been on my mind for several years, and recently real strong for several months, and I kept telling God, I can't do this. I'm not a public speaker. I'm no good at something like this. But God keeps telling me people need to know. They need to hear it. And so that's why I did this today. Pastor Jim, if you close.
Well, let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you for this time, Lord. We want to thank you for our veterans, for those who've gone on before, for the stories and the memories that Marvin's able to share, for the history that he has with that, and all of our other veterans that are here. God, the Bible says that greater love hath no man than one lays life down for another. Those aren't the words for a movie script, and they're not a catchphrase. That's the scripture. And so, Lord, we believe it. I do pray for our families that are here today who've lost loved ones in the military, those that have gone before, those that are missing, those that aren't accounted for, Lord. We all have them in our own congregations. I pray for the families that are here that you comfort them. But God, let us do appreciate what you've done for us, to recognize what's going on and prepare ourselves, at the same time give our hope and faith into you, Lord, knowing what may come. And like Marvin said, Lord, it probably will come. Just help us to be prepared, Father. We thank you for this time. Bless all those that are here, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.